staring out into the night, trying to hide the pain. I'm going to the place where love and feeling good don't ever cost a thing. And the pain you feel's a different kind of pain. And these places are getting old, so I'm going home. Well, I'm going home.
Still by Rage Proof Rock, read by Twasadark. Fandom Stargate Atlantis. Rating G. Pairing Shepherd Dex. Summary: this is a question. On PX-3456, Ronan gave Shepherd a clump of dirt. Shepherd said, Rodney said, "What the hell is that?" Taylor widened her eyes, but didn't say anything otherwise. Ronan watched carefully as John put the dirt clod into a plastic sample bag and shoved it awkwardly into his Alice pack, saying, "Thanks, I think." "It's clay," Ronan said, and John raised his eyebrows. "Mix it with water. Shape it with your hands." And when Shepard grinned, Ronan knew he'd done good. "Haven't played with clay since I was a kid," John said. "You mean you're not anymore?" Rodney asked, feigning astonishment. Then Taylor knelt down to study the deposit of good white clay and mentioned something about it being valuable for trading, so they all got distracted doing that, but Ronan kept thinking about John's hands slick on the clay, shaping out an answer for Ronan. Back on Atlantis, after Rodney and John got dragged off by Elizabeth for a debriefing and a dressing down, "I knew she was going to find out about that thing in the place," John had sulked, Taylor asked Ronan gently what the meaning of a gift of clay was. That's the thing about Atlantis that amazes Ronan the most, that none of them share any frames of reference, that they all look at things with different histories and understandings, different constellations. But what's most remarkable of all is the insatiable desire to learn about it, to take it in. "It's a question," Ronan says in a rolling growl, and Taylor watches his face for so long Ronan feels a flush coming over him. The first time he ever asked anybody a question, he was six circles, about to go to the military academy. She had left a small bird on Ronan's windowsill 3 days later. "I'm sorry. Go wherever you desire. Have freedom." And then there were Wraith, falling upon Satita like tornadoes, eating up the earth, eating up Ronan's people, and it seemed very silly to ask anybody anything when there weren't any answers to be had. "Will Colonel Shepherd know how to answer it?" Taylor asks gently. Ronan feels very still. "He'll figure it out. Or," he thinks, "I'll keep asking." Ronan's mother had asked Ronan's father, and he had made her a house, with three small, ugly windows and a lopsided door, because as skilled as Ronan's father was with crops, he was abysmal with his hands. Ronan's mother kept the house in a beautiful glass case near the sunroom, and as children he and his two brothers had never been allowed to touch it. After the first months of war, he'd come back to his town only to find ruins, and he searched through the broken beams and steel and glass of his home until he found the smashed pieces of his mother and father's house and slipped them into his pocket. He lost most of the pieces on board the Wraith ship, but he still has the doorway, imprinted perfectly with the whorls of his father's thumb, and he has set it on his night table in the room the Atlanteans have given him. Atlantis sends a crew to the planet again, and they cleave from the ground great chunks of the white clay, which Tayla then takes and trades with the beer-swilling, statue-loving people of another planet, Ronan likes them very much, for beer to swill and wheat and fruit, and a very pretty statue of something that looks like a hula. The Atlanteans call them mermaids. That's only because they don't know how hulas bite. Tayla gives it to Weir, who smiles and places it on her desk. It makes Tayla beam, and Ronan is seized with such a sudden jealousy he has to look away. Ronan's mother had taught him selflessness, but that was different than avoiding selfishness, Ronan has found. Ronan can be selfless and do good things for the good of the many over the lives of the few. Tayla has lived selflessly since childhood. McKay, mostly when he isn't paying attention, can be selfless too, though he would argue it so fervently it's not worth talking to him about it at all. Ronan wants to teach Shepard to be selfish, to want things, to want him. So he asked a question. And now Ronan will wait and see how Shepard answers. On the third day, Shepard slips into the seat opposite Ronan in the mess, as usual, and leans his cheek on one palm, narrow-eyed and thoughtful. "I've been thinking about the clay you gave me," John says. Ronan swallows his mashed roots hard. He's never encountered potatoes before, but he likes them. "Yeah?" "Yeah," John says easily, smiling. "I was kind of terrible at art, though. Got a C for effort." "What's a C?" Ronan asks. He hopes it's not a bird. "It's a really fitting academic metaphor for the Colonel's whole life," Rodney interrupting and sitting down next to John, peering into Shepard's tray and whining, "Hey, they gave you more potatoes than me!" Shepard rolls his eyes, but lets McKay jab at his plate, transferring mashed roots to his own tray, saying, "Probably because they know you just steal it from me every day, Rodney." Sometimes Ronan wonders who Rodney thinks he's fooling. But the thing is, Rodney won't ask, doesn't want to take this chance. Ronan's learned that silence is a terrible thing to live, and he ran for a very long time. He would like it very much if John gave him a house, with terribly made windows and a whorl of his fingertips on the doorway, so Ronan will always know which house is home. "What are you thinking of making?" Ronan asks suddenly, which is probably against the rules, but his mother isn't here to frown at him anyway. Shepard opens his mouth with a look on his face like he's about to make a joke, but sees Ronan for a moment and seems to reconsider. "I'll have to think about it," Shepard says finally. "It's not every day you get nice clay." Ronan looks down at his food. "No," he agrees. 2 days after that, Shepard's concussed off-world when a crumbling ruin crumbles on top of him. McKay buzzes around the infirmary, making everybody hate him, and Ronan keeps a quiet and careful watch next to Shepard's bed, because the concussion's not that bad, but he doesn't want Shepard to wake up alone and disoriented, listening to McKay's shrieking. He falls asleep there, and when he wakes up, eyes opening slowly, body utterly still, Shepard is teaching Tayla a game with shiny pieces of paper, whispering things like royal flush and that's just beginner's luck and okay, maybe not. McKay is asleep on another hospital bed behind them, drooling all over a pillow. Ronan watches John smile at Tayla and how they talk to each other in low voices. Ronan can't help but worry he is being too selfish himself, wanting more than Shepard already gives. But Tayla touches John's brow, where a dark bruise is mapping its way across Shepard's skin, and Shepard's eyes crinkle in a reassuring smile, and Ronan wants to slap her hand away, to palm Shepard's hurts and smooth them away, to press his mouth to Shepard's temples, to touch his strange hair and clutch at his beating heart. "Hey," he says, and Tayla looks up, removing her hand with a secretive smile. "Sleeping Beauty awakes," Shepard says wryly, and gathers up the shiny paper he and Tayla have been playing with, shuffling them straight in his hands, and flips them one over another after separating them into two stacks with his long, narrow fingers. "Deal you in?" "Don't know how to play," Ronan says, and uncurls his body, leans inward. "It's real easy," Shepard says, grinning. "And if you're anything like Tayla, you'll be kicking my ass in no time. Though," Shepard looks sideways at her, "she's kind of got a knack for that." "Sleeping Beauty?" Ronan asks, once Shepard has handed him a stack of the white cards, Shepard tells him, covered in plastic, the same material that makes so many Earth and Latian things, like the Erto on Satita, if Satita still was. "Colonel Shepard tells me it's a fairy tale," Tayla explains graciously, "about a princess put under an enchantress's spell after she pricks her finger, only to be woken by her true love's kiss." "Not just true love, a prince," Shepard says, and scowls at his cards. "Not gonna find one round here," Ronan says, low and shy. Tayla smiles at him like a big sister, and Shepard laughs, says, "Maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised." Ronan looks at his cards, all red hearts and black flowers. "Hope so," he says. The day after, Atlantis is on stand down, and Shepard sits down opposite Ronan in the mess hall. He says, "I asked Tayla if she knew what the clay was about yesterday, before you woke up." He says, "I'm not sure what the question you're asking is." He says, "I'm seriously terrible at art." He says, "Why do you always look like you're about to run?" Ronan says, "Got used to running. Effort counts." Shepard looks at him for a long time. "As long as this doesn't turn into ghost." Ronan stares at him. "Never mind," Shepard says, and grins, lopsided and strange, and he searches Ronan's face for something that Ronan has tried to say for a long time now, since he woke up in Atlantis and thought, "What today?" instead of "Where?" "Are you happy here?" Shepard asks, totally serious. Ronan looks at Shepard, wonders what it would have been like if Satita still lived, if instead of half wild in the forests, Shepard had seen Ronan in the glass and metal offices of Satita's capital, if he could have taken Shepard through Satita's forests and down to the ocean, which Shepard seems to love, to have shown him the curling waves. Ronan wonders if it would be the same at all if they did not share this sense of loss together. "Not picky," Ronan finally says. "It's got everything I need." "What about all the things you want?" Shepard asks. "You don't have to stay." Ronan wants Shepard to make this place home, to reshape their crushed and broken histories, to make Ronan a house or a door, something to walk to at the end of the day. Ronan wants Shepard to make him something heavy like an anchor. Ronan wants stillness. wants the water to stop rolling around the city. Ronan wants whatever he can have here, but most selfishly of all, he wants something that all of Atlantis wants. "I've got my reasons," Ronan says. John raises his eyebrows. "Aren't many fairy tale princes around here?" "Already got saved," Ronan admits, voice rough with shyness, and leaves Shepard sitting there, a thoughtful look on his pale, smooth face. Shepard spends a long time looking, Ronan realizes, not to decide if Ronan's good enough, or how he should make this answer, as elegantly sad as the bird Ronan threw down a ravine angrily, but just watching. Shepard watches Ronan train, watches Ronan eat, and watches Ronan wander through Atlantis' hallways. "You decided what to do with that clay yet?" Ronan asks, impatiently joking a week later. But Shepard has always been a surprise. So he says, "Yeah, I think so," and he smiles at Ronan so sweetly, Ronan has to look away, go punch some Marines. The next morning, Ronan finds a very small, very ugly thing that might be Atlantis sitting in front of the doors to his quarters. It's flat and uneven and pretty pathetic. It doesn't sit and keeps tipping over on Ronan's shelf, lands on its left side on top of the door to Ronan's parents' house, covering up the whorl of his father's thumbprint. Ronan leaves it there because it's perfect. That night, after the temporary blackout in the afternoon that's caused when Shepard and McKay do something stupid in the bowels of the city that plays out over the comm system, complete with whining and recrimination, and Shepard making excuses left and right while Elizabeth says things like, "You two are grounded," Shepard wanders into Ronan's room, which is spare and military clean, and now populated by two small clay objects. "Glad you like it," Shepard says, smiling. "It's really, really ugly," Ronan says, "mostly because it's true." "You said effort counted," John answers primly, and his eyes go cloudy. "You always look like you are ready to run. Any minute, I just thought." Ronan smiles, and this time he can't stop smiling. Walks over to Shepard and presses him in against a door, feels all the angles and planes of Shepard's body, warm beneath his soft shirt and pants, and smooths his rough palms down Shepard's arms, touches his hands. Ronan can't stop smiling, and when he looks up, Shepard is smiling at him. "You should stay," Shepard says, and his eyes are very green. "You'll like it here." "My father made my mother a house," Ronan admits, and looks down at where Shepard's feet and his are very close together. This is the closest he's been to another human being in a long time. And he feels Shepard's hand on the side of his face and hears Shepard's voice. He says, "This is home now, too, Ronan." And Ronan thinks, "Finally, finally, finally," and says, "Yes." End. If you enjoyed this fic, please leave the author feedback. You can contact the author through this story's post at amplificathon.livejournal.com.
The miles are getting longer, it seems. Closer I get to you, I've not always been the best man, a friend for you, but your love remains true, and I don't know why, you always seem to give me another try.